just before coming to this place, I was reading a book and I read something very interesting which I thought I would share with all of you. There was a quote from this book which said, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience in this world, but rather we are spiritual beings having a human experience." Something very interesting. Many times spirituality is taken as something which we adopt in this human form of life. And therefore, human form of life or humanism or humanitarianism, this is given more importance than spiritualism. But it's the other way around. Our human experience is dependent on we being spiritual. Just like if you want to experience a computer, then the computer might have all the different high-tech functions in it. But unless the electricity flows, unless there is power into that computer, you can't experience all the functions or any functions of that computer. So, this human body, which has so many functions in it, we can see so many things just because of the eyes which we have. And it's something very wonderful. We don't even focus on the beauty of the eyes. The eyes, they see the beauty. But even the eye itself is a beautiful creation in itself. All the other senses, our whole body, nose, the tongue, the skin, the ears, our hands, legs, and all the internal organs, they are all very high-tech components, like high-tech components of a high-tech computer. But just like a computer, unless there is a power supply, all this high-tech body which we have, we can't experience it at all. Am I right? And in order to experience someone else's component, we need that the power supply or that spiritual element has to be present. And therefore, when it is said that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So our main identity is that we are spiritual. And how do we understand that main identity, that we are spiritual? That we are spirit soul, part and parcel of that supreme spirit soul. And that element always is having its precedence over the material elements. And therefore, real science means when spirit is understood over matter. But generally, when it is the other way around trying to be understood, matter over spirit, then it's not proper science. Like for example, you may go into a scientific laboratory and you may experiment using some chemicals, using whatever scientific data, theory. You may matter, you know, mixing hydrogen and oxygen and can create water. Now, the question is that mixing hydrogen and oxygen, you may create water, but that is not the main understanding of creating of that water. What is the purpose of that water? That is something which is beyond the scientific experimentation. So the purpose of that water is to quench someone's thirst. Now who is that someone? Maybe the person who mixed hydrogen and oxygen. Maybe we are talking about the person who did that experiment. He requires that water in order to live. So over here, the person who is living is superior to the dead matter. Just some chemicals or elements mixed together. But then, when dead matter or simply some elements or chemicals are given more importance than the person, therefore it is said that we see that nowadays a machine is given so much importance, but the man behind the machine is neglected. So things are loved and human beings are used. So, you know, when you go into any relationship with someone, so when you are talking about relationship, relationship always is on a higher platform than the physical bodies coming together. Like you are in this college, so physically you go every day into the classroom. Now that physical going to the classroom is much more different than when you physically go at home. Do you feel that? It's the same body. The same body when it goes to the classroom and the same body when it goes at home. What is the difference? What experience, what different experience do you get? There is excitement going home, and there is boredom. Opposite of excitement is boredom. So going to college is boredom. Okay? One second. Sometimes there is different kind of excitement going to college, which you might not get. Now, okay, let's take these few emotions which you all have shared. Cheerfulness, excitement, and relaxed. So, now what is the difference? That, is it that the make of the classroom makes benches? Is it because of the blackboard? Is it because of what? And what is there at home which gives you all that experience which you have? Environment. See, environment is a very vague term.
So what happens is that
put some money and the coffee comes, or even in India you have people sitting there and you give the money and the person presses the button and he gives, takes out coffee from that machine and gives you. So now, if you take this example of the coffee machine, you go and have some coffee. The question is, who gave you the coffee? Who is the cause for the coffee to be in your hands? Firstly, somebody might say it's the machine. The cause for the coffee is the machine. But somebody else might say, no, the coffee company, Nescafe, is the cause. Somebody else might say, no, it is the person who is sitting at the machine pressing the button. He is the cause. But then the person might say, well, if I wouldn't have approached him and told him that I want a cup of coffee, he wouldn't have pressed the button. So who is the cause? The customer. The customer will say, I am the cause. But even the customer can be questioned. Because if somebody just goes and says, give me coffee, the person will not take out coffee unless he gives the money. So somebody might say, it's not the customer, but the money is the cause. So is money the cause? Is the customer the cause? Is the person sitting at the vending machine the cause? Is the vending machine the cause? Is the coffee company the cause? Then somebody might say, it is the Indian Railway. Because if the Indian Railways do not permit for this company to have its vending machine on the platform, there will be no vending machine, there will be no coffee inside that vending machine, there will be no customer coming at the vending machine, there will be no person operating that vending machine. Who is the cause? The physical. Who is the cause? You understood the example? So there is such a riddle or puzzle that is put in front of you. Yes, all put together, they contribute to the cause. The vending machine has to be there, the coffee has to be there in the vending machine, the one has to have money, the Indian Railways have to exist, the platform has to exist, the coffee company, the person operating. All of them contribute to the cause. But it begins with the customer's desire. If the customer doesn't desire, you see, the invention of coffee was because that we human beings desired to drink something like that. This microphone is in this shape. Why? Because someone desired that the microphone should be like this. So we are talking about desire, which is nowhere to be seen with our naked eyes, but is the prime cause. So similarly, within this material world, whatever is happening is because of the desire, which is so subtle in nature, but it is so powerful in nature. And the whole world, you are over here because you desired. And the college and your faculty and the professor and the classroom and the books, all of that is subsequently followed behind what you initially desired. So therefore, it's like, you know, the engine, which is not to be seen, but engine is the cause for the whole train to move in a certain direction. Or another example is given, a big therefore, when we are talking about we being spiritual beings, we are talking about something which is even more subtler than desire, which becomes the cause of all the material manifestations in our life. So therefore, I was very much inspired by the statement that we are spiritual beings having human experience. Which means that all the human experiences which we are having should be dependent on our real identification of being spiritual beings. And therefore, these kind of interactions and discussions which we are having is taking you to a very, very different dimension in your life. A totally different dimension to look at who you really are. And therefore, we find that when animals, when you look at an animal, the animal simply experiences the instincts, you know, the basic instincts, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The animal can only go to that extent to experience the physical, gross, instinctive experiences. And therefore, animals, they simply live on temptation. You know this word temptation? They simply live on temptation. So when a dog sees a bone, immediately the dog starts to do something because of the temptation in front of it. But a human being can go beyond temptation and do things even though there might be temptations in front. That's the speciality of the human being. But when that human being doesn't do what it is meant for, doesn't go beyond temptation, then it becomes like an animal. Therefore, you see, whenever anyone, whether it is an animal or whether it is a human being, when gives into temptation, suffers. Like somebody who smokes cigarette, it's a temptation. Initially, he didn't know that smoking will give you that kind of experience. So initially it was a temptation, let me experience smoking. And that temptation initially turned into infatuation. But then he wanted it more and more and more after he started smoking. And that infatuation turns into addiction. Then he becomes addicted. Which means he becomes trapped. He becomes trapped in that particular habit of smoking. So like that, if you look into our human life, there are so many different traps which we have made. Like, you know how a rat is caught? There is a rat trap. Can you see? There is a rat trap. And there is an English saying which says that for a rat, it is only one place where the cheese is free. You know where? In the rat trap. So when that rat goes to enjoy that cheese within the rat trap, he is not charged for that cheese in one level. But then he has to pay the price. So therefore, the cheese for that rat, within the rat trap, is a temptation. And mind, temptation within this material world is always free. It comes free. But the price which one has to pay after one gets infatuated, like in the Christian world, they have the theory of Adam and Eve, who fell from the Garden of Eden. How? Because Eve was offered the forbidden apple. So it is said that forbidden apples are always tasting sweeter than non-forbidden apples. And you will experience that things which are forbidden are more exciting. Like liquor, smoking, then illicit sex, and all these things which are forbidden. They have more excitement in them because it is like the cheese within the rat trap, which appears to be very exciting to the rat. So temptation is like that for a human being. And when we, like that rat, try to just enjoy the temptation, thinking that, you know, the rat thinks, forget about the trap. Let me enter and enjoy the cheese within. And as long as the cheese is there, who cares whether I am in a rat trap or whether I am outside of a rat trap? But the question is, how long the cheese will last? And how long the trap will last? So, temptation carries a human being into wrong activities. So that human being goes into wrong activities, wrong practices because of temptation, not realizing that there is a big trap which is surrounding this temptation. And I might enjoy the temptation, but for how long? But the trap will be there forever, all around. So an intelligent rat will not get tempted by the cheese within the rat. So similarly, we human beings who have that spiritual position of being spiritual beings having a human experience, we have to go beyond the temptations and look into a life which is full of attraction. You see, in this material world, it's not an attractive world. It is simply a tempting world. Or rather, agitating. So, it's not attraction, but agitation. And agitation is not positive. Attraction is positive. Therefore, Krishna, the name Krishna itself means one who is all attractive. Sarva Adarshati Iti Krishna. So anything in connection with Krishna or God is attractive. And that is what this statement means, that we are connected to Krishna as spiritual beings, having the human experience. So when we live on the platform of spiritual beings having just a human experience in connection with the all-attractive Krishna, then we can come out of this rat trap, of this trap of this material world, which is simply full of temptations and agitation. human experience as spiritual beings. Otherwise, somebody is simply enamored. You know, it is like somebody working on a computer, not seeing that the battery is very low, and simply typing, not realizing at any moment the computer might shut off. So when we forget our spiritual spark and simply keep working just as a human being, not realizing that the reserve battery is coming to an end. And just like in the computer, sometimes it pops up, you are running on reserve battery. Come on the screen. So similarly, although we who are experiencing this human form of life, the signals come in this human form of life. When we get dizzy, old age, any calamity, misery, it is told to us, you are running on reserve battery. Anytime it might shut off this computer, this system. So better focus on the power supply. But whether the computer is properly plugged to the power supply. Which means we understood that the power supply is spiritual spark. So we have to also, as a human being, make sure that whether I am properly plugged in the powerhouse, which is Sarva Akarshati Krishna, we are properly plugged in that powerhouse, then whatever we do using this human body will be saved, the data will be saved, and it won't crash down, and you can, without any fear, you can keep having the human experience as a spiritual. Hare Krishna. Was it difficult to understand? So remember, a very nice statement that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, spiritual beings having human emotions. Okay. So let's have a spiritual experience as spiritual.